Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
And now,
it's time for
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Hi, welcome to Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
I'm Mike Sweeney.
I'm Jesse Gaskell.
And we're writers on The Conan Show.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Still.
Last we checked. And we usually talk about stuff going on at The Conan Show. And yeah. We sort of do that today.
Well, yeah. We talked to a friend and a friend of the show.
Yes.
Jessica Chaffin.
Yes. She's very funny, very
talented. She's hilarious. She's been performing in a lot of different areas, venues, TV shows for a long time. And we brought her in to talk. She's been actually a sort of a feature of the Conan Show for a while, but we didn't talk about any of that today. We kind of just started talking and then we had to stop because the studio was needed for something else.
Right. People were yelling at us through the glass.
Yeah. They started shutting lights off.
Yep.
So here's our interview with Jessica Chaffin. It was in a hotel. I mean, you think it would be the Arrive Hotel.
Oh, that place looks nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
What's the food?
No, it's Wexler's.
Wexler's. No, the food options look good.
Nice, yeah.
We stopped there to use the bathroom.
Oh.
On the way out of town. And also because there was an ice cream place next door. And it just looks unfinished, that place.
Yeah,
It had a Wexler's, which I thought was exciting.
Yeah, it's fun. And I like that there's not, I don't know, it's not sceney the way that some of the others
give was it exciting?
Give because it a minute.
You played a character once named Coco Wexler.
Oh boy, somebody did his first Google of me in his whole life.
I realized they knew
that's
nothing about you.
That makes me so happy. Not that you brought that up, but that you've never, ever had any interest in looking at my credits or anything.
No,
because it means we have an actual friendship.
Yeah, well, that's true. Right.
Or an actual, it means we have things to talk about.
Right, well, plus you talk about them, so.
Well, now I want to.
I'm always talking about Zoe 101.
I didn't Google you before this, and now I wish I had.
Oh.
Because I want to be in on the joke.
You've just heard everything. I played a character on Zoe 101 called Coco Wexler.
Oh.
And which, by the way, is the only thing I've ever been recognized for in my whole life.
That's how I know I've been with you, where people in a restaurant get
like,
super excited.
That's true. Hostesses and stuff.
And you're like, oh boy. But
it's the
Coco
effect.
You know the exact age?
23.
So, is it that
it's
narrow?
Like 20. It's like
kids.
It's like 23 to 27.
Oh,
so
right.
It's people that were kids. It's still
exactly.
on, but it's people that were kids and have now their world and my world can overlap.
Right.
Because I want to be served.
Yes.
Are we recording?
Yeah. Of course.
And I'm ready to be served and they're ready to serve me.
Right.
So that's awful. But it's sort of true. But I find that I'm most famous in Germany and Austria.
Oh.
Really?
There must have been, at the time that those people were growing up, only one channel.
Uh-huh.
By the way, we're talking about maybe three people recognizing me in the universe. But they must have just had Nickelodeon Germany, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'd love to know who was dubbing
marathons.
My voice. Oh, yeah. Because I assume it wasn't. I assume somebody German is very funny and should be getting all the credit for that stuff.
You could probably find German dubbed Zoe 101 online.
Well, I'm not
I bet.
Looking that hard. No. I mean, I guess I said I was
not
curious.
Not if it has a paywall.
I don't know if there's a paywall. I was going to say.
So, yeah, that's what happens. There's a certain look. I was going to one of my, as Mike knows, and as you know, actually, I do favor a little Austrian health spa retreat. Oh. I like to go deep into the mountains of Austria and take a you know, a little bit of, do some forest bathing where you breathe in the
yeah.
And I went to a place that was literally, well, it's basically like fresh air.
Yeah, it's a hike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fresh air. Well, to hike in a place that has fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worked for previous generations of Austrians.
It's worked
and now
for
it's
previous.
Your turn.
Well, they are a hardy people. But it's worked for previous generations of humans.
That's true.
I guess. Fresh air. I mean, that is why people move to the suburbs.
Yeah.
Fresh air. White flight.
That's right.
Here we go.
What's the air quality today?
It has to be terrible because I was driving yesterday and the air was brown. I didn't know that was still a thing.
Yeah.
That we had to put up with.
Yeah, I thought we fixed that.
No.
No, I went for a walk yesterday up by
the observatory.
Yeah, the observatory, mm-hmm. and it was just solid wall of brown.
What if Teslas are secretly just emitting?
Well, they're not doing that, but they are run on lithium-ion batteries, which are made from that, whatever that special titanium alloy is, which you can only get in an African mine that a child can only crawl in and get.
Right.
In a war-torn country.
They're the only ones who can repair
it. But the carbon offset ratio is amazing.
Yeah.
Right, Mike?
You guys are just against the owner of Tesla.
And the battery's going to live as long as a plastic bottle, probably, right?
And then get thrown back in.
Anyway, I went to that Austrian place, and when I got to the front desk, and this was on like January 6th, right after, this was after we were in Prague, actually, if you must know. And it was like The Shining, the hotel was the end of the earth and there was a blizzard. So there were literally only like these 10 people on the planet. And I checked into the hotel and the girl's eyes almost popped out of her head, but she was trying to be very professional.
Yeah.
And also, as I'm sure you know, Austrian and German people, I don't want to generalize, but they like to do things by the book. And so she wasn't going to be like, oh my, that's the other thing that's fun. She wasn't going to be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Coco.
Hey.
That's never going to, she doesn't, they're not millennials in the same. Also, she was like a mountain girl living in a mountain village.
Yeah. She was hiding.
She was never going to do that thing where she would be like, can I just say you look really familiar? And I am entitled to say that because I'm entitled to be on this planet or whatever version of making fun of every millennial, which I'll stop doing. But anyway.
They're your biggest fan base.
I know. Cut, Kevin, cut. Anyway, her eyes almost popped out of her head. And then at the very end of the week, somebody said to me, could I take a picture with you? And I was like, why? And because at that point, I'd forgotten about the interaction. They were like, I was a big Zoe 101 fan. And it was a different girl. And she said, can you also take one for this person? It turned out all the girls at reception
were all Zoe 101.
I'd been the talk
That's
of
how
the
they
smallest
them.
Town in Austria.
That's part of their interview process is, did you watch Zoe 101? Welcome aboard. Well, that's very professional. They waited till the end.
They did.
They probably don't get a lot of celebrities, so they don't.
Oh,
know
they
what
get
the protocol
only celebrities
is.
At that place.
Oh, okay.
Which is why it was hilarious.
Only Nickelodeon shows.
No, because I am not a celebrity, and so it was very funny that it was like they didn't care that so and so was there, but they were pretty excited because you know what, Roland. You know what Roland always says? It's like if D from What's Happening walked into your restaurant, or or you know. I don't know who from Taxi for you, Mike.
Right. No, for me.
Who would it be for you? Who from Gunsmoke would it be for you, Mike?
I'm going to, you're not far off. You know what? You're 400 light years off because it was Dr. Smith from Lost in Space.
Oh, okay.
It was on the
or no, if the it would be more like if the robot walked in.
Oh, my. Well, that's.
That's who what I was.
That's
I was
still
the robot.
A dream because I assume the robot still
my
exists.
My character, I don't know if you know this, I used to eat ravioli out of my bra.
Oh, my God.
The whole joke was, the show was like Facts of Life, and the joke was, whenever I just did a few episodes, but whenever I was on, I was like the RA. And so the joke was that the kids always had to take care of me instead of me taking care of them. So I always had like a big breakdown, and I would, and all the jokes were about how big my bra was and that my boyfriend was always breaking up with me and like dating my mother. And then I would eat ravioli out of my bra.
With a utensil, or you just
I just always would have a can of ravioli in my bra.
Oh, it was a can?
Yeah, and it was open, an open can. Right.
About how big your bra was.
And about how much I loved ravioli, that I would just keep ravioli in my bra. And once I just ate a whole thing of Russian dressing and all kinds of stuff. It was awesome. I would be like, oh, whatever you want to do to humiliate me would be great.
Right.
I was like a crash test dummy.
I'm doing it for Austria.
I didn't know at the time.
No, who knew?
You're welcome.
This, I mean, it's when you're describing this to me, I understand why people remember you.
It's that's what I mean. It's not like, oh, I saw you in this thing. It's like a childhood. Yeah. It's a spirit animal.
You're a meme,
yes,
basically.
Yes, I am a meme. Yeah. There's a lot of memes, actually. Yeah. Because Coco is like, oh, it's all that, like, I'm having a day like Coco.
Self-care, Coco. Yeah.
It's also instructive on how not to wear a bra, not to do with the bra.
Once it was like I dropped my underwear. So I was doing my laundry and I dropped my underwear. And then it was like the biggest pair of underwear you ever saw in your life.
No.
And it was fun. It was really fun. I loved it.
Well, speaking of food.
Oh.
What?
Oh. Well, I do have a gift for you. Was that my cue?
No, but
you did know because I told you a little bit. I have a little gift for you. I forgot. It's for you, and also for the people here who can do whatever. You can share this with people.
Is it a can of ravioli?
Earwolf Studios.
Well, no, yes, that would be, you should share it with the people here at Earwolf.
Do we have to?
Yeah.
You're going to want to, because there's a lot of it.
Oh, wow.
I made this gift for somebody else today, and then that person canceled on me, so now you get it.
Oh, I love it. I love that. That's a good punishment to them.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to work out.
Never cancel
so
again.
So maybe you can describe what I've gifted you.
All right. It says happy birthday, this bag.
It's a big happy birthday.
It looks new. See, this I can tell
was
is the first
just,
use.
Purchased just for
because
the...
Because I reuse these bags and I can tell this one is not reused.
No, it's brand new. The price tag's still on.
Oh, it is?
You wanted them to know. No, it's not.
And then there's pink tissue paper. Beautiful. See, can you hear the rustling of the tissue paper?
So it makes me think a womanist one is stitched you.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. No.
There are some blueberry muffins in here.
Homemade blueberry muffins.
They are beautiful. I'm going to grab one now.
I'll have one.
Have one, Mike Sweeney.
Was it this person's
and
birthday?
And then maybe Kevin wants to come grab one and share
Did
them
Did you
with
make
people.
These?
I made them this morning.
Wow. Wait, but when you make them.
I'll tell you why they're small.
I think this is kind of small. Appropriate size for a muffin.
Well, that's the serving size you want.
Yeah.
But that's not the serving. That's not the thing that you're going to go in a case and want to grab that.
Oh, well, sure.
Yeah. If I was trying to make them beautiful and appetizing, I would have made them bigger.
No, but this is a normal human.
These are beautiful.
No, that's how much a person should have. Mm-hmm. That's not what you want.
You made six.
How
really
dare
good.
You?
I'm just
Keep
noticing.
Keep looking. There's dozens in there.
Yeah. Oh,
how dare you? I made six.
Well, it's a big crew here at Earwolf.
I didn't make them for them.
All right.
Can you tell
but
us?
But I want them to enjoy them.
Right. It's this person's birthday.
It is
and
my
they canceled.
It's my trainer's birthday today.
You're trying to get your trainer fat.
No, it's very funny though, because you start to get nervous when you're cooking for your trainer. You start thinking about all kinds of things that you wouldn't think of if you were cooking for regular people, like portion size and how much sugar is in the recipe and things like that. By the way, this is
muffins.
No credit to my trainer that he's my trainer.
Right.
I don't want to humiliate the man by saying his name or anything, because then he might not. People might be like, this guy isn't doing anything. Like, they might think he's not good, and he's very good at his job.
I'm sure he's great.
But
except when he cancels.
It was his birthday.
Okay.
And I have to say, I was not happy that he canceled, because we discussed it several times that I would be his last client and then he would be embarking on his birthday weekend after that.
Oh. Wait.
And I kept checking.
Today is Wednesday.
Yeah. It's early in the week.
He's having a birthday weekend.
Well, today is Wednesday. We were supposed to have a session tomorrow, but I canceled on him for tomorrow because I got an appointment. as well, I got an audition, but as actors see. Do. I actually got two, guys, if you want to know the truth.
Great.
But it's that's boring talk. But
no, I actually think
showbiz chatter.
That's kind of why you're here.
Yeah.
I mean, most
yes,
of
it's exactly why I'm here, but because I don't have a job at the moment. I need one, and so I was available to be here with you today.
Well,
so hopefully
because,
after tomorrow, I can never come back.
Well, maybe that's people listening to this will seek you out for muffins.
That's right. We have a lot of producers listening
Yeah, I should tell people I'm available for work. But anyway, so I made them small thinking he would share them with people at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Then he canceled on me an hour before, and I got to say, I was That's not terrible. Happy.
No.
But it is his birthday. So now it's your birthday.
I've never had a trainer. What's that? That sounds
he's great.
What kind of relationship is that?
Yeah.
It
seems very intimate in a way.
It is. Well,
love, hate.
I have to say, I only like him. But when I was starting with him, I was like, it took me a long time to agree to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, I don't need another relationship with another person of any kind.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Let alone one that I'm going to like
something
put
ongoing.
Near my body and who's going to decide what I do with it and like say, we could work on this or we could work on that. But he's like he's like a coach, mm-hmm. basically. He's just wonderful. Like I can't recommend him enough. He's very smart about everything. I mean, and believe me, I know a lot of people have trainers and think that they have good trainers and they don't. And what it really is, it's like hairdressers. People think they have a good hairdresser and you're like, I can tell you.
Right.
Just by looking at you that you're incorrect about that, but you might like that person very much.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I don't want to have to either decide if I like him or I don't like him or if I'm going to be annoyed when he asks me to do something, even though I'm paying for that purpose.
But
he's awesome. He just knows, he always has a plan, mm-hmm. which I love. He switches it up. And I'm very much like, I just feel very much like I'm in his hands. Like he's a great lawyer
mm-hmm.
who I'm just like, why don't you do this? You know how to do it. And so
there's not a lot of small talk. That's what
is a lot of small talk.
Oh, there is.
Actually.
Okay.
Right. But we talk about the movies we've seen.
Uh-huh.
We talk about human relationships.
That seems like a lot of pressure to me.
No, but he's
so
pleasant. And
you do
also
work out at some point.
I work out nonstop for the whole hour. The other day he asked me, I was so impressed. He asked me, meaning I was proud. He was like, what has been motivating you the last month? You've really been hitting it hard. And I was like, I have. Like, I was like impressed. But it's kind of like, he's like a coach.
So
when you're
you don't feel like you're working.
So you've done sports in your life, obviously. You're a very sporty type.
Am I?
Yes, you are. With a terrific figure. Jesse does have a terrific figure.
I was going to say the same about you.
A world-class figure.
Oh, my goodness.
She does.
Oh, boy.
I've seen her in a bikini. It's great.
Now I'm getting red.
But well, Jesse, you used to be you are a runner. But were you a runner in school?
I was a distance runner.
Oh, wow.
So you had a cross-country coach?
I had a cross-country coach,
and was that coach a good coach?
Yeah, great coach.
And what made that person a good coach?
I think all of the things you've described, a good combination of pushing you physically, but also helping you sort of figure out the mental components of your body and just appreciating what your body can do and not making it all about goals necessarily, but just about like, what's your personal best today? And let's try to unlock that.
Oh.
Hmm. I'm not even kidding.
We don't talk that much.
Does any of this stuff you learned there come into play in your job?
You mean in your running job? In being able to endure pain for
yes,
long periods
exactly,
of time.
Exactly.
No, I don't see a connection.
Does his head
do your knees hold up at Conan when you have to walk around the set?
When I have to carry his ego on my back?
Oh, dear. When's he getting here, by the way?
Oh.
That's the only way we could put it.
I told Mike I was going to spend the whole interview saying, so how soon will Conan be here? Should we keep talking? Or is he going to be here soon? I'm sure he heard
he
I was going to be on the show
regards.
And decide. He's always on, right?
Yes.
He just comes downstairs. Yeah.
he wakes up on, apparently.
I meant on the podcast.
Yeah, he's on.
He's only been on once. There's no question. No, I know. I was teasing.
We can't book him.
He's on.
No, we don't. It's like we ask and then we feel like we're bothering him,
right.
And then we.
But also, don't you spend enough time
away.
With him?
We do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's actually in Italy right now, and he's
again.
Yeah. But so he's been.
Is he in a Tuscan villa ensconced
in some of the
Tuscan
spots
villa?
We went to?
It might be the Tuscan Umbrian border.
Mm. How disappointing.
Mm-hmm. He's reliving.
He went back to some of the places?
Yeah.
He did.
Did
he
went people back know
to
him when you were.
Restaurant.
Like, oh, he did?
Mm-hmm.
Was the food that good?
I think it was that
it was good.
But I think he also liked that he already knew what
he
to
likes
do
familiar
there,
things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
He knew how it was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I didn't enjoy anything Italian that week that you would normally like, oh, this is a great meal because it was all.
You were
stress.
Too much.
It was all just, I mean, right? It was, for me, it was kind of.
It was
like
also kind of cold when
pasta.
You went there.
Yeah, it was February.
Yeah. Was and I feel like part of the fantasy of Italy is like the tomato right off the vine and the, not that all that winter food isn't exceptionally delicious, but that's more of like when you get into the stewier kinds of like bolognese's and thing. Not a bolognese is tomato based, but you know what I mean? Like what's the one, amatriciana or whatever? Though like the really like fatty, delicious, like beefy ones.
Pancetta.
But I feel like part of the kind of Disneylandification of Italy is this idea that like someone's just going to slice a tomato for you and it's going to be the best tomato that you ever had because it's
you eat it like an apple
and you're eating the sun and like a lemon, a Capri lemon and you know.
Yeah, it was cold when we were there. It was definitely not, it was off season, but we made do.
Yeah, we really did. I try to make it sound like we were suffering.
But that's a good segue. Jess, because you came on one of these travel shows with
I'm
us.
I'm the only person in human history to invite themselves on a Conan travel show and get to go.
That's true.
Well, you're one of the only civilians that's ever come with us.
Oh, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
But not as in any way employed.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, no. No,
yeah, you were just...
No, I just decided to come along.
And I'm so glad you were there because we all realized how sick we were of talking to each other. And it was so nice to have a new person.
I would like to think that I helped bring some of you together also. There were people that had never really even spoken to each other, even though they had been on 10 or 12 travel shows
together. It's the first time I spoke with Jesse.
Yeah.
You're responsible for this
Jose
podcast.
For instance, and Jesse had never spoken before.
Jose was a writer on the show.
He's been on this
That's
podcast.
That's right.
He has.
And my wife came, and
That's
you
why
were
I came.
Her date on the trip because we were shooting all day.
I was her companion.
Yes,
horse.
And you guys.
Yeah, her chaperone.
Exactly.
And this was Israel. The
it
one
certainly
that
was.
Yeah.
Yes.
And had you been to Israel before? Was
many times. Not
okay.
many times. I had been there three times, I think. Before I came with you. I think that was my fourth time, that trip.
So,
I do enjoy a trip to Israel with its volatility and its many contradictions, but there are many things to love about that land. And so I'm always like, I would love to go whenever someone's going, but it is always, you don't realize how stressed out you are, even when you're enjoying it, until after the trip. Is it like when you get on the plane on the way home, you realize your body has been in like a fight or flight position for the whole trip? Like it takes some coming down, I feel like, after the people
that
there
just
are
feels
revving.
Like my whole life
they're
now.
Revving high.
Revving high.
And yeah.
In Tel Aviv, everyone there.
It's an exciting city full of nightlife.
Very exciting.
And delicious food.
And very attractive.
Very
young
liberal.
Beautiful people. Yeah.
Yikes.
And a very liberal city. Like they are kind of like, oh, we don't like the administration here. And you feel like you're kind of in New York City where they're.
It's also one of those places
government.
How, you know how there's like only a few cities that truly belong. This is going to sound, feel free and get rid of me. Feel free and gong me or get
don't
the
have
hate out as soon
anyone
as this
else
is over.
Lined up.
But there are certain cities that belong to, in a really awesome way, belong to certain segments of the population that are not empowered in other cities. Like I would say Black people have real agency in the city of Atlanta. like that is their town in a mm-hmm. in a lot. They run that town. And Chicago to some extent is like that. But you can't say that about a lot of towns in this country. Big cities in this country or whatever. West Hollywood and gay people or LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Did I miss anything?
Did I miss any letters? And Tel Aviv is one of those cities too, where you can be openly homosexual or whatever, LGBTQ, mm-hmm. and it's completely accepted and it's part of the fabric of the place and it's incredibly modern, which puts it in such a stark contrast to Jerusalem, which is the opposite of what you can be.
Yes, no
cut, Kev. But it's a hip modern city like that.
Yeah.
There aren't that many cities that are progressive like that, that aren't like college towns.
That's true.
Yeah. And speaking of Jerusalem, it was very intense when we went over to the West Bank. And
was that your first time crossing into Palestine?
No, I'd been to Bethlehem before and to... There are various, I won't remember, Michael knows this better than I will, the what's opened and what's closed and what intifada mm-hmm. and what blah, blah, blah. But when I went the first time when I was like 20, I think I went to Rachel's tomb, which is
Hebron,
in Hebron, I think. Yeah. Like that was part of the stuff that you could still do. You could go. I had been to the church in Bethlehem.
Was that a birthright trip?
No, I just went. Trying to pigeonhole me, I see.
Well, a lot of people.
Why don't you put parentheses around my name while you're at it?
A lot of people go to Israel in their 20s.
I thought you were black the way you were talking about black cities.
Yeah. If only. That would be much more interesting. Yeah, you could still go to places like that. I'd been in that church in Bethlehem before and felt that it had been overdecorated.
It's the church where Jesus was born.
Well, where his manger and was, right? That little hole in the ground was the manger,
Go down in the basement.
Yeah, I was unclear about
it's like
exactly
a crypt.
Where.
It feels like a crypt, but that was supposedly the manger.
There was the manger, and then also the spot where he was born.
That was where
two separate spots.
Our camera guy knocked over.
Oh yes, he certainly did. One of those Armenian
lanterns full of hot oil.
Our sound guy. Spilled,
that's what I meant.
Oh yeah,
this 20-foot boom.
Yeah, he had the boom mic.
He sure did. That was a tense moment. I was there for that.
Yeah, that was tense.
I got to be on that part.
We do a lot of apologizing on these trips.
Yes,
to locals.
Shoot first, apologize later.
Yeah,
in this case, to the baby Jesus. Sorry, deity.
Well, I mean, maybe the oil was an offering.
That's
true. I don't
know. But maybe it was also
that much about the Bible.
It wasn't that bad.
But also, these places are always they had closed the place for us. So that was nice of them. We were like the only people in there at the time, weren't we?
Or at least
in that corner?
Yeah. I mean, it was a
big you were shooting.
Staircase. Right.
I remember it being kind of cordoned off or whatever. But it wasn't like the whole church gasped. Just our group gasped. Right?
They gasped because
it was a small
Oh my God, it's Coco Wexler.
Yeah.
Here in the West Bank.
There was a Starbucks. That was fun. Cynthia mm-hmm. and I went to.
Yeah.
There was a guy who had ripped off Starbucks and was just running his own Starbucks.
Bethlehem Starbucks.
It wasn't a real Starbucks.
Starbucks Palestine.
Right.
I regret that I didn't get a mug.
Oh,
there.
I got Mike a mug.
I have a mug.
And I got a mug.
That's nice.
And I think we got Conan a mug.
Oh.
And then I signed it because I knew Conan was a big fan of mine. So I signed it. But those places sometimes, I want to go to a place and have it feel like an archaeological dig.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is just not how places feel
a little polished,
that have been around for generations. Because
that shocked me.
There is that idea of like, in order to, which is a big part of Catholicism and various versions, you know, whatever Catholicism then became in its many forms. Mm-hmm. But that idea of like, we should jazz this up just to let God know we love it mm-hmm. and like keep people interested. And that sort of rococo-ness of things.
Oh, what were you going to say?
No, just that was a editing that show and just figuring out kind of how to navigate that space was really tricky because
everybody has an opinion.
And you're always going to be, I think, wrong. no matter what.
Yes.
Someone's going to be upset.
Yes.
No matter what.
But just going there is such an awesome, never mind the travel show, but just going there, I think nothing feels like Jerusalem to me because I feel like the city, maybe you didn't, I wonder if you felt that way or not because you were working and so you were like so in it. But to me, I feel like that city like vibrates because so many people are focusing their attention on it at the same time mm-hmm. and have all these different ideas about like what it's supposed to be, as you say. And that you can walk around one corner. I remember I went to use the bathroom and there was a guy who was like in the sort of behind the shops cooking all of the lunches for all of the shopkeepers. Mm. So he had almost like a gigantic paella, tin, which just smelled and looked like the most delicious chicken and rice you could have. And I was like, oh, can you buy this? What's it for? And he was like, oh, I cook all the food for all of the shopkeepers. So he was like serving the coming in through the back door and delivering everybody their lunch, basically.
Cool.
But that you just have that. And then around another corner, there's like, you know, a whole bunch of crazy ladies from Colombia that have spent their waited their whole lives to come there and faint. Yeah. You know, they just they're just hoping to come there and faint. Because if they don't faint, the trip is a bust.
You do it's something you've heard about
like
your
Disney.
Whole life.
It is like
it's expensive, it's crowded, and you have all these ideas about like what it's supposed to be and how it's supposed to look.
Transformational.
And there's all the things you're supposed to do, like rub this thing and go
walk
put
on these stones.
Put a note into that. And so there's a lot of
put a note into that. Come up with
that
a
crevice.
Thing. Oh, that was a lot of pressure.
That was a lot of pressure.
Where they're like, would you like to now put, it's like the ultimate, would you like to blow out your candles?
Yeah.
Oh,
what's
your
one wish?
Put your note in the, J-Lo was there last week and I was dying
really?
To know what she put in
She the was criticized.
Oh, because her blouse was very open.
Yes.
Oh,
she was not modest enough for the Western world.
But I thought that was such a celebrity thing where like her guide, her this or that, nobody wanted to be like, J-Lo?
Yeah.
Just really quick, J-Lo? You know,
even in Jerusalem,
like J Lo doesn't have 1,000 scarves hanging around that she could throw over. She just needed to be told.
Right.
It they also went after
fair
her
of them to leave her like that
because of her music. So that was a 2-pronged criticism.
Oh, was there?
They.
I didn't know if the music cut out during her show.
What did you think of being there with the Conan crew?
I loved it.
I felt like you really kind of nailed everybody right away. What everyone's
I don't know
personality
how much I'm allowed to say. What I'm allowed to say.
Well,
I don't want to sow divisiveness.
You can always cut it out.
We heavily edit this show.
All right. Tell me specifically what you want to know, and I'll dish.
Go ahead.
From whatever I can remember.
I don't know. I didn't have anything in mind. I
had a lot of lovely dinners with Conan.
You did.
I felt like everyone else was tired of sitting next to Conan.
Yeah.
And so my job was to sit next to Conan.
And entertain
which
him.
Which probably a lot of people in this universe would. I don't know whether I entertained Conan, but I kept talking.
I mean.
That could be
the epitaph of my career. Like, I don't know whether I entertained anybody, but I kept talking.
Yeah.
That actually is a very accurate description of my whole life. Hopefully someone was minimally entertained in passing. I probably was. That's all.
Sounds
that
like a few Austrians were.
Mike Sweeney has traveled with me extensively.
Yeah.
You guys, I know we should have done a disclaimer that you guys are really close friends.
Well, I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
Oh.
I
why?
Mean, I think it's
you
true. But I think Mike, just much like Conan, is happy to have a little bit of different company at dinner. That would be. It's just rotating company.
I just love to let you go on and on about how you think I feel about it.
I know,
you.
I couldn't
but
tell
Mike
that.
Always,
that
was, you some,
I will
cracks
say this.
Me up.
Mike always. Mike sees me in this world. Like, he knows what I'm up to. Like, whenever I have like a scheme cooking up where I'm like, I'm going to go have a word with the concierge, Mike already knows, like,
oh, you understand.
Three steps ahead what I'm up to.
Yeah. Well, I benefit.
What sort of things
I benefit
are you up
by,
to?
Whatever it is.
Just
it's like,
mischief.
It's like, look, we're getting fluffier pillows in our room, too. Thanks to Jessica.
So are you a real I'd like to speak with a manager person?
No.
Yeah. Yes and no. Not for no reason.
No.
You're 10 steps ahead of the
hotel. But you're assertive about it.
You like befriend, you research who owns the hotel and what family and send them blueberry muffins a month before you go. And
no.
So when you come, they're like, oh my God, Miss Jessica.
That's not entirely true. A lot of it is just on the fly, those relationships I'm forming, Mike.
No, of course.
You get good service.
But I do like to know. I like to know what is possible.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then if we can have that thing.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
It's very impressive because I still feel I don't deserve anything. And
you managed to figure that out.
He's made out okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hang out with people who care.
Your wife, for instance.
Exactly.
Who has exquisite taste. Well, and is a real blast.
In most things.
Yeah. So Mike definitely benefits from being in Chintzia's orbit.
Yes. Yeah. We call her Chintzia. Yes. She is endlessly entertaining.
The best.
No, but I've been to dinners with you where you clearly, you know, the owner of the restaurant comes over to talk to us.
No, that guy would talk to everyone in that restaurant.
Okay.
I know exactly the dinner you're referring to. And we had already been to that restaurant and we're sort of hoping he wasn't going to come over and talk to us again.
Yeah, he talked to us for a long time.
But he is a person who opened a restaurant so that he could talk to every person in the restaurant.
It's probably closed already.
I mean, it was like he was just having people over at his house.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
But I did have two pupils that were from Saudi Arabia who I would teach every year, and they were girls. And they were the most wonderful girls.
When you say teach, you were actually
teaching them. So I would have a couple of private students.
Teaching them English.
Yes.
How did you know how to do that?
Well, I didn't really, but they have books they were, you know, there's like workbooks that you're doing with them.
Oh.
Thinking back on it, they probably had like British nannies and spoke perfect English, pretty much. And
they were correcting you.
But it was really cool because their brother was coming over to go to Georgetown, maybe. And then there were these two girls. And they could have just been like, yeah, okay, you guys are just going to like lay around all summer. You know, like you're not going to get to do anything.
Right.
And their parents were wonderful. Their mother was like so beautiful. So she would wear a hijab, but she wouldn't wear a burqa. But really she would wear just beautiful like fabric head coverings and stuff. And she was so beautiful. And then at the end of the summer, they would say, we want to take you to the Bay Tower Room or whatever the fanciest restaurant is in Boston that looks out onto the city, and thank you for this wonderful summer. I always said, actually, if it's okay with you, I would like to come to your home. Like they said, or the girls can cook for you if you want.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, I would love to do that if we could. And they would always rent like a townhouse in Boston and bring, you know, like a full staff and whatever. And then, so in the house, the mother would not wear her veil. And she was like, just even more beautiful than, I mean, she was so stunning, but in such a like lovely person. But these girls were getting this great education and spoke beautiful English. And I believe
they would just be there for the summer.
Yeah, because they would come for the summer because they wanted them to. I think part of it is that Boston is such a like university town,
right?
And full of, you know, culture and museums, and they just wanted them to kind of soak that in.
Right.
And I think they ended up going to college in America.
Uh-huh.
But they were like on the loveliest girls. I know, it's funny. I always think about looking them up on Facebook, and then I don't. I don't know why. Because it feels.
They burnt the meal.
No. They were the loveliest girls. I loved. And they used to write me letters and I would write back to them.
Uh-huh.
But I think that my letters weren't, they wouldn't go through.
Oh no.
Because I got a couple letters that were like, you know, I'm starting to think you're never going to write back.
Oh, no.
And da, 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 da. But this was pre-email. And it's obviously so the Saudi government is a little, you know, I wasn't like sending them nudie pictures or anything.
It's quite
but they might have been.
But I think they were. I think they were looking through their mail.
My brother-in-law.
It broke my heart.
My brother-in-law worked in Saudi Arabia for a while.
Oh, really?
And he did not enjoy staying there. And he'd watch TV at night and Little House on the Prairie would be on TV, and it would be heavily. It would just go to black.
They bleep it visually.
What could you take out of it?
Exactly.
Yeah. They would bleep it visually.
He couldn't believe.
Maybe if a woman was running. Visible.
Or a woman running down a hill.
Yeah.
Wheat.
Or something. There was
too
always
graphic.
A lot of like running after someone in a field.
Oh, well,
maybe
that
that's what it was.
That would
a bouncing,
it.
A heaving bosom.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never been more grateful. We sort of had discussed doing a travel show in Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
Before Jamal Khashoggi.
And that was
I was there for that too, Mike.
I thought it was a year ago and I thought,
remember when we were at the,
yes, I remember that. We're at a
when Mike
hotel.
Got the call where they were really pressuring him to take this gig.
Well, first they sent a nice.
They knew they were going to have damage control.
That's right. They sent a nice invitation and I think everyone else at work just dismissed it. They're like, oh, well, we wouldn't even consider it. And I was like, well, wait a minute. You know, there's all this.
They're like opening movie theaters. Women can drive.
Women
now.
Can drive. It might be.
It would be fascinating.
It would be. It could be really interesting and fascinating.
You go and dismember a journalist.
Well,
Well, they haven't found the body.
In fairness,
he may be like that guy at that grocery store that fell behind the walk-in freezer 18 years ago. Did you read that story 2 weeks ago?
Sorry.
Oh, that's your kind of story, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
We've been on hiatus.
There was a guy. Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Is that your first show back?
Oh, I mean.
Conan hiatus.
Conan hiatus.
There was a guy in, I don't know where, Pennsylvania or New Jersey or somewhere.
Let's say New Jersey.
Who he was like an 18-year-old kid who worked at a grocery store.
Oh.
And he got in a fight with his dad one night.
Uh-oh.
And left the house and never came back again. And the grocery store was like a Food for Less or one of these. It wasn't a Gelson's.
No.
Or a Whole Foods.
Oh, no.
But
we understand what you're saying.
He, I guess it had gone into like receivership and then bankruptcy and then it had sat abandoned for a couple of years and now somebody was taking over the space and making something new and they moved the walk-in and he was in a space behind the walk-in and the like an 18-inch when you drop a pen.
How did he get, why did he go back there?
I guess somebody who worked there at the time, and this was like 20 years ago, remembered that sometimes they would keep things on top of the fridge and that people would like crawl up there to get, you
maybe
know,
like
paper towels. Oh, I was thinking like paper towels. But, you know, something that you're like, we need to store this. And that's where he was. So maybe that's where Jamal Khashoggi is.
That doesn't make sense.
Maybe he's behind a walk-in freezer at the Saudi embassy.
Yeah, then they'll find him years from now.
I'm sure they will.
Well, anyway, we decided not to go.
Yes, thankfully.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure it would have been fascinating if only... I don't know if it would have been a good show.
I don't know that we would have had any freedom. It would have been very heavily...
But that
it would be propaganda.
The experience would have been fascinating. I don't know if it would have made for a good show.
I want to say we decided not to go before all the crazy news.
Yes.
And they were kind of they were pushing back and going, "Hey, come on, you were interested. Do it." And then that murder happened, and they stopped calling.
They ghosted.
they were like, maybe we'll back off for a few months.
Yeah, they were like, well, they were busy tending to other PR nightmares.
Yes, they had other priorities.
Yeah,
I know. I like to think maybe they were going to test out some methods on Conan. Like
you were hoping.
I wasn't hoping. I just enjoy thinking that it was like how. Can you effectively dispose of a body?
I have to say, I've never seen relentless energy in the way for a bit. Okay, I'm a comedian of a certain stripe. And I love performing and I love getting a laugh and all that stuff. But Conan is like unbelievable to watch in the sense that I can't believe he's not. At the end of the day, every day, he must just drop into bed. And his writer brain is going at the same time that his
writer editor brain.
Yeah.
Too.
Mm-hmm. At the same time that his performing brain is happening. It is like watching an unbelievable computer, like a beautiful, funny, beautiful. And right. I guess, you know, my type now, 7 foot carrots are my type. It's a beautiful thing to watch. It's like unbelievable. And to have to also support and keep up and feed and like, it's such a highly collaborative thing that you guys do on those shows, and it's constantly changing in the moment. It is pretty amazing to watch, I have to say. Like, I can't believe you don't just, I'm sure you do, want to just walk away. But it's almost, meaning like halfway through the day, you're like, I gotta go anywhere now for 2 hours and power down. And like, but you, it's almost like you guys are on stage performing for that whole 5 days or that whole whatever. Comic-Con probably feels that way too. But you just, like, you're in it. And it is pretty amazing to watch how your team does that.
Yeah, I mean, you know what else is really intense is when you're out with the camera crew and people just run up and start talking to Conan.
Oh.
And then
it's scary.
I always feel bad because we have to wheel on the crew and go, "Are you shooting this?" And they're like, "No,
we just sat down to lunch." Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And then it's like, well, you got to shoot it, you know. And I think in Haiti, Aaron Blayard, who was there, like the camera guys had just broken down after talking to these school kids, but then Conan was just trying to sit in a van and kind of.
Oh,
chill,
right.
And this group of kids came up and just started talking to him,
and one of them was amazing.
And we just started shooting
to be president
with like
iPhones. I remember her.
Yeah,
she was very cool.
We shot it with iPhones until one of the camera guys could join in, and it's just so there's moments like that that happen all the time, and then even that.
But he's also creating, so those moments are happening spontaneously, and then there's the stuff that you guys have written and are rewriting all the time, and saying like we're going to go out and try and do some version of this thing today, and then you guys are also constantly locked in and engaged in what's happening.
Right.
And then there's the stuff that just comes out of nowhere.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Like, I don't even know how you decide. I mean, I guess the answer is you just can't get everything.
No.
But it's like every day is exhilarating and disappointing at the same time because you're like, oh, we should have got that thing.
Yeah.
Or we shouldn't have got this thing. We should have spent time on this other thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the edit process must just be a bear.
No, it's just kind of like winnowing down.
Yeah. So, you always have starting with
too much stuff.
giant piece of wood and then you whittle down.
I really think you just take this big stew and you just cook it down and then cook. We just keep going through versions of it and chopping it down. So the key is, I think you don't want to lose anything good.
Yeah.
So you throw in as much as possible with each pass. And then it kind of just break, and then it starts knitting together and you make connections. Oh, this section goes well with this other section. So you don't really have to
roadmap it. The threads present themselves.
I think so.
The marble tells us where to come.
Right, but you guys also do an incredible amount of research ahead of time and say oh, these are the things that are going on in this country or in this society or in this city or that this place is known for.
Right.
And so those things.
We don't look at the Goop guides.
No. Well, but they do. But those things sew themselves together too.
Right.
And you which is what's so cool about traveling too, when you're like, oh, we went to this place and then that's connected to this other thing that we saw. And then that, oh, okay. So this is the place where that person from this, you know, like it all kind of presents itself to you.
Yeah. That, I mean, there's travel magic that takes place, I think, on every...
And then with ideas, it's like we were going to Armenia and we pitched some idea and they said, oh, yeah, we went there with the Kardashians. And they're just like, okay, let's not do that.
We were scooped by the Kardashians yet again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Though they only went for 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And got in and out of an SUV. I always think that's... So actually, that's another thing that's pretty cool about Conan is that it's not obviously on camera, you have your security and you want to go to these places, but he likes to be with the people. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's so many celebrities that have access. You think they have this like incredibly interesting, glamorous life where they are, J-Lo's on tour. We were talking about that. But truly, like, so she's in Tel Aviv, and then she's in Shanghai, and then she's in this place, and then she's in that place. And a lot of times, all those trips are is the hotel and dinner in the hotel. Or maybe dinner at one place in the town that people said, or at Nobu. Right. You can go to Nobu. Because they know how to handle
your party,
and they know your order, and they know, and like, but truly, like, you think these people are world travelers, but as you become more famous on that level, you can't just go outside, or you won't. And Conan will.
Jessica Chaffin, thank you so much for being here.
I hope you'll
thank you.
We'll talk to you again, and we'll get into some.
You'll never talk to me again. You won't. Okay. Unless you
not
hope,
even personally.
Unless hopefully you accidentally hit delete on this. Because I feel like this was all a warm up for how you're supposed to do it right.
You do it all wrong to do it right
kind of thing.
Yeah, I think you're just the third host now.
Yes, exactly.
That's what we've seen.
Yeah.
Good pixel.
No, this is great.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
I love you guys. Bye.
Love you.
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast, is hosted by Mike Sweeney and me, Jesse Gaskell.
Produced by Kevin Bartelt.
Engineered by Will Becton.
Mixed by Ryan Connor.
Supervising producer is Aaron Blaird.
Associate producer, Jen Samples. Executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross. Jeff Ross at Team Coco. And Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon at Earwolf.
Thanks to Jimmy Vivino for our theme music and interstitials.
You can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
And of course, please subscribe and tell a friend to listen to Inside Conan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or whatever platform you like best.
Ta-da!
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.